The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter
4.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers, and such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. It's my privilege and honor to be able to deliver the sermon today, which is from Bishop Shelley Wickstrom. Grace to you and peace in the name of the vine, the gardener, and the spirit of life. This weekend, our Synod Assembly weekend, which means that many congregations will not hear from their usual pastor. Every pastor, deacon, and voting member from every congregation gather to do the work of oversight of our Alaska Synod once a year. This assembly included the election of a new bishop who will be eager to work alongside you starting July 1. I forgot to insert his name here, so. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ and for participating in this shared ministry. The Alaska Synod is 30 congregations spread across Alaska. People are gathering for worship and service in Bethel and Trapper Creek while their faith congregations develop as congregations. We're all rugged and hardy Alaskans. Boots, parkas, and or raincoats are our usual Sunday attire, which sets us a little bit aside from the lower 48. Some of our congregations sing a liturgy. Some do not. Some of our altogether, our congregations use at least 5 different hymnals. All of our congregations use hymns translated from another language. Most are sung in English, but also Inupiaq and Spanish. Some congregations have always worshiped with an organist. Some never have. Some use the old English version of the Lord's Prayer. Some use the international translation. Some congregations are twice as old as the state. Some have charter members that are still active because the congregation is younger than the state. But not Sitka Lutheran. Theirs is the oldest Lutheran congregation on the West Coast. Some congregations have active youth groups and children. Some do not. Some have no retired members, and some are almost all retirees. Some meet together every Sunday, and some are just beginning to discover potlucks. It is rare, however, to find a Jell-O salad at our potlucks. Every age, from infant to elder, are welcome to the Lord's table. In some congregations, others have a tradition of waiting until after a formal instruction. We're diverse as people, and we're diverse in our practices. Are any of these differences wrong? Each is part of who each congregation is in that particular context. At some point, practices change, so they alone do not define us. Who and whose we are is the gift of God known in Christ Jesus. During the season of Easter, we hear multiple stories of Jesus appearing to his followers for the 40 days after his death. He kept showing up in the midst of their fear and grief, transforming them from fearful to faithful people, and it got them into trouble. Peter testified, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." After being knocked off his horse, the persecutor Saul became the preacher Paul, and he wrote, "As many of you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. Philip, who went to Samaria, was in odd territory to begin with, and then he shared what he knew of Jesus with someone who was the wrong person for many religious reasons. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. Each had to explain himself to those who knew better. Their encounter with the resurrected Jesus stretched them beyond what they thought they knew or even believed. They acted into a new way of understanding. God was able to work in and through and beyond death. There were no limits to who and where and when and how God can work. So those early disciples found themselves ignoring the social conventions for the sake of the truth held by the prophets, now known to them through Jesus Christ. And each was killed because of it. When sentenced to death, Peter asked to be crucified upside down so that his death would not be the equal of Jesus. Philip was crucified in Egypt. Paul was decapitated by Nero's decree in Rome. Living into the power of the resurrection did not protect them from suffering or death. Did Jesus' instruction to be the branches to his vine bring them comfort? The people of John's persecuted community remembered these words of Jesus. "Abide," he said, "make your home in me." And they knew enough about vineyards to understand what Jesus said about God pruning for the sake of more fruit. A master gardener will tell you that pruning a dead branch down to living material will make that plant stronger. A dead branch becomes a spongy incubator for fungus and pests. Pruning the dead branch away directs a plant's energy back into what is viable, living. That cut will heal. Without pruning, air circulates less, flowers become smaller, fruit becomes spindly. Branches grow into each other. Pruning shapes a plant for hardiness and fruit. What is the fruit God desires? The early apostles came to realize that God was leading them to people on the margins of religious respectability. The Holy Spirit took up the work of resurrection in those first apostles. All would know the resurrected Jesus and his reconciling, forgiving, abundant, gracious love through them. I doubt if any of them decided that was the day to throw out the accepted definitions of kosher practice and kosher people, who belonged and who did not. With real people, God pruned dead branches of piety with a truth greater than they'd ever dreamed before. They acted their way into a new way of understanding because the God they knew in Jesus led them. This was the Holy Spirit's work. They were connected, like branches to a vine. What uncomfortable, untidy people and places might God be calling you to? Are there habits that we've become fond of that are blocking what God might be calling us to do, where God is calling us to? If you scoffed, remember those first apostles and what they left aside in Christ's name. Nostalgia is often a religious icon that keeps us from preserving God at work now. As a congregation, are you praying that God would guide you? Are you reading scripture to learn what God has done and intends to do? Are you open to being pruned, changed by a living God? Has meeting that one person changed your perception of those people? If so, you are in good company. Those people are beloved by God, no less beloved, no more a sinner than you or me. And it is to all people that God asks us to witness to what God is still doing. The early church was known for their love, not just of each other, but of the strangers in their midst. This was God-fueled love, not sentimental, feel-so-good love. They cared for their own sick and for folks with no connection to them. They shared all that they had. Their hard work of love was possible because they knew that they were first loved by God. The Holy Spirit is still at work. Abide in me, Jesus said. Be the branches to my vine. Allow my Father to shape you for God's purposes. God's love is the source of our love. You can't do this alone. Stay connected. We are so different and yet so much the same in the Alaska Synod. May our diversity allow for the circulation of the Spirit. May our witness bear fruits of compassion and grace-filled work because of this stubborn love we know in Christ Jesus. It is He alone who defines who we are. Let's lean together into what God is doing and learn what else God may be asking us to do and be. To God be the glory. Amen.